Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostuti Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all the devotees. This morning we discussed the first five shlokas of Gopi Gita. Before we enter the sixth shloka, if anyone would like to recollect some salient points from our morning discussion, you're welcome. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. In their transcendental frustration, they are blaming Krishna. They are somewhat criticizing Krishna. Okay. Any other point? Yes, Prabhu. Sankarshan Prabhu.
Gopis has felt their special connection with Krishna. Although it is not a type of pride, but still Krishna felt that they have some sort of pride. So he disappeared. So Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotees.
Okay. Yes, Mathis.
You told that Kaliya held Krishna's feet for one muhurta and even had the footprints imprinted on his foot. Still he didn't get full mercy until and unless his wife prayed for him. So we need Vaishnavas in our life so that we can get full mercy of Krishna.
Yes, correct. Even if somebody has direct contact with Krishna, that contact is complete and real only when there is devotee's intervention. Yes, Prabhu.
Topmost devotees get least time with God.
And they are in deeper feelings of separation, deepest feelings of separation. Therefore, the gopis are the highest. Any other point? Yes, Mataji.
Gopis are
Kamada, that Krishna is bestowing the highest desire, which is the desire of the soul to attain Krishna's shelter.
Yes, when the gopi said, Kanta Kamadam, Kamada means one who bestows desires. From one perspective, Dharmartha Kama Moksha. So there is Dharma, means following various rituals, some good principles, popular customs, that is considered Dharma in one sense. And people want Artha. Then Kama, some kind of material enjoyment. So Krishna will bestow all of them. Four Purusharthas are ultimately bestowed by Krishna. But that Purusharthas or a human goal which is beyond these four Purusharthas is Krishna Prema. And ultimately Krishna is enthusiastic to offer this Panchama Purusharthas more than the other previous four Purusharthas. Any other point? Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna being very humble, feels very much indebted to the to his devotees, because devotees can do beyond their capacity for Krishna. However, Krishna can't do beyond his capacity, because in his capacity it's like he can do everything. So he feels very indebted to his devotees.
Yeah, he can't go beyond his capacity, because everything is within his capacity only. Correct. Next, any other questions?
Krishna is Vishaya Tatva, so he is the object of prema, and devotees are the Ashraya,
abode of love. Yes, Prabhu.
When Krishna bestows his lotus hands to give the blessings, the devotee gets freedom from all kinds of fear, including the fear of repeated birth and death.
Samsritir bhayat. Next. Any other? Yes, Mathis.
So the gopis are praying for Krishna's lotus face to appear before them, and they compare his face to the lotus, because just like the lotus grows out of the mud and it's never affected, so Krishna is never affected even though he's in the material world.
Correct.
And then they also say that he is the son of Mother Yashoda, and you have so nicely explained how the devotees, according to the Bhava, they visit Krishna either as Devakinandan or Yashodanandan and so on.
In the Venu Gita, this gopis also say, Yaddevaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmihi. The same gopis describe Krishna as Devaki Suta in the Venu Gita. Now they are saying Gopika Nandan in Gopi Gita. How do we understand when Vraja gopis are addressing Krishna as Devaki Suta? Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains, very beautiful. He says that Mother Yashoda and Mother Devaki are so close friends that sometimes Yashoda Mata is addressed as Devaki and Devaki is addressed as Yashoda. So when the gopis said Devaki Sutta, they meant Yashoda Sutta only. Okay, any other final? Yes, Mathis.
So
Yes, correct. So by discussing some elevated subject matters in certain occasions, we may consciously or unconsciously think that we are on that plane. That's a mistake on the part of a sadhaka. So we should be humble. Next, any other? Yes, Gopeshwar Prabhu.
Two kinds of mercy to the Supreme Lord, one is external mercy, one is internal mercy. Internal mercy comes only when the devotees pray. You give the example of Kalia. In one way, he got a mercy because Krishna dashed on his heads. He embraced Krishna. But real mercy came when his wife prayed for him. So the importance of devotee prayer is in our life.
Another finer principle. Yesterday we were discussing very elaborately the story of Gajendra. This crocodile caught Gajendra. For 1,000 years, crocodile was holding on to the foot the leg of Gajendra. So Lord released Sudarshan Chakra and beheaded this crocodile and pulled Gajendra out of this lake, and thus Gajendra got Sarupya Mukti. All of us know this. But that crocodile who was killed by Lord Vishnu was relieved from a curse that he has achieved in the previous life, and he regained his position as a Gandharva Ahuhu. He also got the mercy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Why? With a good intention or bad intention, somehow or the other, this crocodile held on to the leg of Gajendra. So even with a negative intention also, if someone manages to connect with the Lord will show some mercy. This crocodile was holding on to the feet of Gajendra for 1,000 years. Can you just imagine? Intention may be negative, but the lotus feet, the mercy of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava will definitely uplift a person, liberate a person. And the Lord will show some kindness upon this person. Not that it's not a recommendation that we hold on to a devotee's lotus feet with a negative or impure intention. That's not the message here, but sometimes the Lord shows mercy in that way also. There's a shloka in the conversation between Devahuti Mata and Kardamamuni. Devahuti says, Kardamamuni, I approached you, I associated with you only for my personal enjoyment. You know the story, right? Third canto of Bhagavatam. Devahuti is admitting, out of her humility, she is saying that you wanted to give me love of God, but I asked you, I want children. So her desire to have children, apparently instead of love of Godhead, is also under the umbrella of Krishna's will. Because if she did not desire for children, if she says, I want love of God, I want to go to spiritual world, then we will not have Kapila Dev only. We will not have Kapila's teachings only. So because the Lord planned to appear as her son, therefore her desire to attain some children, have some children, is very much within the plan of the Supreme Lord. But she considered, out of her humility, she considered herself foolish to ask for a material boon from Kardamamuni. I associated with sense gratification. But the nature of great souls is that, the purifying potency of great souls is that, even if somebody approaches them for sense gratificatory purposes or selfish purposes or many other ulterior motives, the association of a saintly person should only uplift them spiritually. So, I forgot the Sanskrit, there is an important shloka. But the essence, the meaning of the shloka is this. Even if somebody approaches a devotee with a negative purposes or for some material purposes, still, the devotee's association should only uplift that conditioned soul, uplift their consciousness, help them, benefit them spiritually in some way or the other. So that's this we can see in the case of so many other personalities. For example, Mrugari, although he's so cruel hunter, he came in touch with Narada Muni. He was uplifted in his consciousness. And Haridas Thakur, yes, that prostitute who came to Haridas Thakur just to defame him, pollute him, distract him, but she got such special mercy that she became a pure Vaishnavi, and many other Vaishnavas are taking her shelter. So with a good intention or bad intention, if you approach a devotee only helps us. Similarly, as the practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, we should also develop that purity and spiritual maturity and think of only benefiting other people, even if their approach towards us is negative. When we are preaching, we may come in contact with so many people. Not everyone approaches us with a pure intention to serve us, to take association, to take some inspiration, to hear chant. Some people approach devotees with some other malicious intentions, and their glances upon devotees may not be always appreciative glances, there could be some envious glances also, there could be some negativity in their approach also. Still, if the devotee's intentions are pure, the devotees are not affected by their negative glances. In fact, the purity of the consciousness of a devotee will purify their intentions to the degree we are pure. We need to cultivate that purity. Of course, although Prahlad is completely pure, Hiranyakashipu was never transformed. So, there are some cases, the level of their impurity, the extent of their bewilderment because of Maya must be in a high magnitude. They may not get transformed so much, but in general cases, the purity of a devotee is so contagious that even those people who have absolutely no connection with Krishna consciousness or spiritual culture can also get uplifted, can also get purified by the association of a devotee. Okay, any other? We went to third canto, we went to sixth canto, but come back to tenth canto. Any other final points that you recollect from morning's discussion? Or shall we go to the sixth shloka? Yes, Mathis.
So they're actually chastising him and saying, you're being so cruel, and Krishna is not so cruel, actually, he's very kind and compassionate.
Paramatma is little neutral. Neutral witness or observer of things, but Krishna is more reciprocal, not neutral. But Krishna is acting like Paramatma, not like Bhagavan, they are just chastising him. So we'll go to the next shloka.
Vrajajanartihan virayoshitam nijajanasmaya dhamsanasmitam.
Vrajajanartihan virayoshitam nijajanasmaya dhamsanasmitam.
Bhajasakhe bhavat kinkarismano. Jalaruhananam charudarshaya.
Jalaruhananam charudarshaya.
The gopis are saying, Vraja janartihan. Krishna, you have the track record of destroying the distresses of all Vrajavasis. Vrajajana means all the residents of Vrindavan. Arti means their distress. Artihan means one who does haran, one who steals the distresses of all the devotees. Therefore, one of the names of the Lord is Hari. Hari means one who takes away, one who does haran, one who steals.
Vraja prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmarchita papa choram chauragraganyam purusham namami.
So Chaurashtakam says, Vrajaya prasiddham. Krishna is very, very popular, very famous for what? For stealing.
Navanita choram.
Vrajaya prasiddham navanita choram. Krishna is so popular, even though he's a 2-3-year-old boy who is still managing to utter some intelligible words, still he's prasiddham, very, very popular in the entire Vrindavan. For what? Navanita choram. For this activity of stealing butter.
Vrajaya prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chatukula choram.
He's not only famous for stealing butter, he's also famous for stealing clothes of the gopanganas, gopas, gopis. And different people have different interpretations to this pastime. But please understand, at that time gopis are small girls, Krishna is a small child. And he was accompanied by small toddlers who don't even know the difference between male and female. Very small children. It's a very small childish activity, funny activity, but people have different interpretations. And even if we say, no, Krishna, although he's a boy, still he's grown up because he's God. He's God. So what's the problem if he steals clothes? Because he's God. From both perspectives, their logic is invalid. He's a child and he's God. Anyways, then Aneka Janma Arjita Papa Chauram Chaura Graganyam Purusham Namami. Aneka Janma Arjita. Arjita means earning. So many people, they save their money, provident fund or whatever. So they save a lot of money. Arjita, that's their property, that's their earning. Lifetime's earning, they may invest in something and make a building for themselves or for their descendants. So, but a conditioned soul has acquired, has earned so many impious credits, so many sinful reactions for several lifetimes. Aneka Janma Arjita Papa. Although we have acquired, the conditioned souls have earned unlimited sinful reactions for several lifetimes, Chauram, Krishna will steal them away within a moment, right? So a thief, if he is expert in stealing, then he can come and steal that hard-earned money. Somebody must have earned that money for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. He can just come and then take away everything within a minute. Similarly, Krishna is an expert thief, that he can steal the property that we have acquired for several lifetimes, millions of lifetimes. What is that property? Sinful reactions. Aneka janma arjita papa chauram chauragraganyam purusham namami. Chauragraganyam, best of all thieves, that is Krishna, who can steal our sinful reactions. Ordinary thieves in this world can steal other things. Somebody may imitate Krishna and steal butter also. Navanita Chauram. Krishna is Navanita Chauram, I will also become Navanita Chauram. Krishna is Makhan Chaur, I will also become Makhan Chaur. That may be possible for you. But can you steal someone's reactions, sinful reactions? No, I don't want to steal. I will give if you want. I will donate all my sinful reactions to people. So that is a capacity of a conditioned soul. We cannot imitate Krishna. If you want to imitate Krishna, don't imitate him only in Rasalila. Imitate him in everything. Right? So Prabhupada says, if somebody wants to imitate Krishna, that is not Rasalila, it is Rascal Lila. Right? Anyways, coming back here. Vrajaja Nartihan. So Krishna is the thief. He steals what? Arti. Arti means distress. Yesterday we saw there is one Artha Bhakta, Gajendra. He took shelter of Krishna in Arti, in distress. And Krishna has stolen the distress. 1,000 years of distress. Krishna stole it in 1 minute by releasing Sudarshan Chakra. Similarly, sinful reactions of thousands of lifetimes, Krishna can remove them in 1 minute. And butter which is created, which is churned for 3-4 hours or 5-6 hours of hard work by a gopi, Krishna will steal in 1 minute, break the pot in 2 minutes. That is his style. And he breaks the pot in such a way that no sound comes out. Yashoda Mata, when he went to the kitchen to take out that Padmagandha milk, save that Padmagandha milk, it took a minute and she came back and the pot was broken. Generally, if the pot is broken in one room, in the next room sound should come, right? Yashoda Mata is in kitchen. She could not hear the sound of the butter pot being broken. You may say, this room is so far. If it is so far, how could Yashoda Mata, who is so absorbed in her motherly love while giving milk to Krishna, could hear the sound of milk spilling over because of excessive heat? If she can hear this minute sound, many people, like maybe housewives can understand, whoever has some experience of boiling milk can understand. When the milk is spilling over, you are working on something or you are just talking to somebody or just on phone, you cannot notice. Even if you are in the same room. But Yashoda Mata is in a different room. That too, she is very much absorbed in her motherly love and experiencing great pleasure in feeding her milk from her own body to Krishna. She is so absorbed there, but she is able to hear very attentively. It's not that she is distracted in her service to Krishna. This is what devotee's life is. Devotee may sometimes focus on two services also. This is not distraction or multitasking. That's what it is. She is absorbed in her loving service to Krishna, but she could hear Padmagandha milk boiling over there also. She could hear that sound, minute sound. If a pot breaks in this room, can't he hear? She could not hear. The reason is Krishna broke the pot without making a sound. That is his expertise. When she came back, she saw that pot is broken and she understood this is not the job of a monkey. In Vrindavan, monkeys keep coming into people's homes and break pots. That's a common thing in Vrindavan. So Yashodamata felt that this is not done by any monkey. This is done by my monkey-like son, Krishna, who is constantly associating with monkeys, who is behaving like a monkey. Looks like she's coming from a lineage of monkeys. When she says all these things to Krishna, she says, yes, 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 I am coming from a lineage of monkeys. And my mother is monkey. Right? Yes, I am coming from a lineage of monkeys. I must have acquired the qualities of a monkey from my mother, not from my father. That is Krishna's color reply. So Krishna can steal butter, Krishna can break pots without making a sound. Krishna can destroy all our sinful reactions without much effort. Effortlessly he can destroy. That's what they are saying. Vraja janarti hanvira yoshita nija janasmaya dhamsanasmita. Vira yoshita. Vira means the hero. Krishna is hero here. He is called hero not because he has killed so many demons. He is called hero because he is the hero of the hearts of all these gopis. If somebody is very strong and powerful and masculine, can only kill demons or destroy enemies, they are appreciated for that reason. But if they also have that soft side, the side of a relisher or a rasika, to also deal with the opposite gender in a very soft way, they are appreciated more. That's what the gopis are doing in Madhurya Bhav. Vira Yoshitam, we are hero of our hearts. Yoshita means woman. Vraja janartihan vira yoshitam nija janasmaya dhamsanasmita. Nija jana means Krishna's own devotees. Smaya means pride. Pride. What is the context of this whole song of separation, Gopi Gita, sung by the gopis in the middle of the night in the autumn forest of Vrindavan under the Sharat Purnima moonlight? The context is Krishna left them. Why did Krishna leave them? Because there is some pride in their hearts. Because there is some pride in their hearts, Krishna wanted to destroy that pride by leaving them. The gopis are saying, Krishna, you don't have to leave us to destroy our pride. Just smile, sufficient. Nija janasmaya dhamsanasmita. So if you smile at your devotees who have some pride in their hearts, their pride will be destroyed. Just smile is sufficient. Oh, you are so proud of your activity. You are thinking you are the doer. You are the controller. Really? If you go and report to the spiritual master, Maharaj, I have done this. You have done this? You have done this? No, Maharaj, you have done this. Or Krishna has done this. Vaishnavas have done this. Not me. Right? So the smile of a spiritual master, smile has multiple flavors. Some smiles are meant to approve. Some smiles are meant to disapprove. Some smiles are meant to express happiness. Some smiles are meant to express frustration. Some smiles are with an appreciation of others' humility. Some smiles are disapproval of others' pride. So what is the flavor of this smile? That people will understand. Those who have some common sense and intelligence will understand what is the meaning of this smile. Some smiles indicate gratitude. Some smiles indicate pleasure, happiness, satisfaction of heart. Some smiles indicate frustration, uncomfortable smile sometimes. somebody is doing something to you and you are not very comfortable and still you have to smile, you smile. So intelligent people will understand this person is uncomfortably smiling. Let me not make this person more uncomfortable. Right? So some are smiles of satisfaction, but here there is another smile that they are indicating. Nija jana smaya dhamsana smita. Smita means smile, smaya means pride. Krishna, you can destroy our pride by just smiling at us. You don't have to disappear from the scene. We don't need such a heavy punishment for it. For a small mistake, don't give us heavy punishment. Next. Bhaja sakhe bhavat kinkarismano. Bhaja sakhe, we worship you, O Lord. Kinkari smano, we worship you in the mode of being a kinkari, servants. Ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambhuta. We worship you in this mood. As a das or dasi or kinkar or kinkari. Earlier we were thinking, we were the most fortunate woman in this entire cosmic manifestation because Krishna is dancing with me. Every gopi thought that I am the best woman because Krishna is with me. Of course, that happiness or that so-called pride is also in connection with Krishna. But Krishna wanted to humble them from one perspective. From another perspective, Krishna felt, these people are so humble. Even their happiness or pride also is connected to me only. They are not taking pride in themselves. One thing is, you do some service to the Lord or another devotee or an exalted personality, they're happy. You are proud. You can be proud that you have done such a service that pleased them. Second, you can be proud because they have accepted your service. You see? The other day Maharaj was saying at Govardhan Valley, Prabhupada said, my perfection is Krishna accepts my service. So you can feel proud and happy because Krishna accepted your seva. Not that you have done seva that is acceptable to Krishna, but you have done some seva that Krishna accepted. Okay. So the pride is not because you have done the service, the pride is because Krishna accepted it. There's a difference between these two. You can feel happy. Happy to be a recipient of an opportunity to serve Krishna. You can be happy that Krishna is receiving your service. Right? That happiness may seem like pride sometimes. But if we are proud that we have done this service, we are the doers, we are the performers, then that is incompatible with Vaishnava culture, with Vaishnava character and Vaishnava mood. The gopis are actually humble. And Krishna is actually feeling that I can't sufficiently reciprocate with their love and affection. They love me so much. Their happiness is in connection with me. Their distress is in connection with me. They are decorating themselves only to please me. They are decorating themselves just so that my eyes can get pleasure. They are speaking something just so that my ears can get pleasure. They are applying some sandalwood pulp or wearing some fragrant flowers on their bodies just so that Krishna's nose can get some pleasure. Their entire existence is meant to give Krishna pleasure only. Absolutely no desire for any selfish pleasure on a personal plane. They are so dedicated. What can I give them? I don't have anything to give them. Actually, Krishna is humbled here. Apparently, Krishna is humbling the gopis. Apparently they are proud and Krishna is trying to humble them. But the deeper reality is Krishna is humbled. Krishna is so humble that I don't have sufficient ability to reciprocate with them. If we read this line and think that the gopis are proud, we can think about it in two ways. Even Krishna did not tolerate pride in gopis. How can I be proud? That's one way. That's a lesson we can derive from it. But from another perspective, if you think gopis are proud, that's an offense. Just like Lord Shiva ran behind Mohini Murthy. Even Shiva, such a self-controlled personality, Shiva also could become lusty and then run behind Mohini Murthy, and Mohini Murthy is just making Shiva run amongst the hermitages of different sages and humiliating Shiva in front of them. See, your role model, you are trying to follow his footsteps. He is also afflicted with lust. Be careful. That's what Lord in the form of Mohini Murthy did to Shiva. So the lesson there is, if Shiva could be attracted by the form of the opposite gender, who am I? I need to be careful. That's the lesson we need to derive. But if you literally feel that Shiva is lusty, it's an offense to Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Parad. So we need to be very, very careful by reading the mistakes of great souls as described in Bhagavatam. We should know what not to do, but we should not offend them. We should not disrespect them. We should learn what not to do without offending them, without disrespecting them. We should not, without minimizing their greatness. So gopis are not proud. Gopis cannot be proud. Even their so-called pride is in connection with Krishna. But still, just to give us a message, Krishna apparently felt that, oh, these gopis are thinking that they are the best women. Let me disappear. Actually, Krishna disappeared to spend some exclusive time with Srimati Radharani. And Krishna disappeared just to hear their song of separation, Gopi Gita. If Krishna has not disappeared, why would we discuss it today? So, Nija Janasmaya Dhamsanasmita Bhaja Sakhe Bhavat Kinkarismano Jalaruhananam Charudarshaya. Jalaruha Ananam, your face is Jalaruha, is like Jalaruha. Jala means water. Ruha means that which is born out of water, which is lotus. Jalaruha Ananam means Krishna, your face is like a lotus. They already mentioned this kind of example in the second shloka. You remember? Sharadudashaye sadhu jata sat Sarasi Jodhara Shri Mushadrisha. There they already described that Krishna's form or Krishna's face is like a freshly blossomed lotus flower in autumn season in Vrindavan. They are saying the same thing. Bhaja Sakhe Bhavat Kinkarismano Jalaruhananam Charu Darshaya. Charu, very beautiful. Darshaya, please show that form. They're so desperate for Krishna's darshan. Fullendivara kanti mindu vadanam barhavatam sapriyam Srivat sankamudara kaustubhadaram Pitambaram sundaram Gopinam nayanotpalarchitatanam go gopasanghavrutam Govindam kalavedu vadanaparam Divyanga Bhusham Bhaje. Fullendivara Kanti Mindu Vadanam. Krishna's fresh beauty is like that of a freshly blossomed blue lotus bathed in moonlight. Barhavatam Sapriyam. He has a beautiful peacock feather. He loves it. Srivat Sankamudara Kaustubhadaram Pitambaram Sundaram. He has Srivatsa mark. He wears a yellow dhoti. And main point is here. Gopinam nayanotpalarchitatanam go gopasanghavrutam. Krishna's beautiful form is always worshipped by the utpala flowers of gopis' glances. So sometimes devotees do pushpabhishek. They worship the Lord. They shower the Lord's form with beautiful flowers. Similarly, Krishna also is being showered by the flowers of the glances of gopis. Gopinam nayanotpalarchitatanum go gopasanghavritam Govindam kalavenu vadanaparam Divyanga bhusham bhaje. And he's playing flute in this beautiful attire. So the gopis are begging him, Krishna, please show your beautiful form to us. Please don't run away from us, considering us proud. Even if you are proud, yes, we are proud. We agree, we are proud. But you can destroy that pride with your smile. What is the need for creating the situation of separation? If you can accomplish the mission of humbling us just by your smile, what's the need for this long separation? Trutiyugayate twamapashyatam. Without seeing you, one truti, one fraction of a second, is appearing like millions of yugas put together. Krishna, please show yourself to us. They're begging, they're pleading. Next shloka.
Pranatadehinam papakarshanam. Trinacharanugam Sriniketanam.
Trinacharanugam Sriniketanam.
Fani Fanarpitam Te Padam Bhujam.
Fani Fanarpitam Te Padam Bhujam.
Krunu Kucheshunaha Krindhirachayam.
Krunu Kucheshunaha Krindhirachayam.
They're saying, Pranata Dehinam Papakarshanam. I just said something similar, not me. Gopi said something similar earlier. Pranata Dehinam, Pranata means one who offers obeisances, pranams. Pranata can also mean complete surrender into Krishna. Krishna is called Pranata Pala. Why? Because he protects those people who offer obeisances to him. On one extreme, just they offered obeisance, dandavat, that's all. Pranata. But pranata can also mean complete surrender of oneself to the Lord. Whether you are completely surrendered soul or just offered obeisances to Krishna, or you are anywhere in between, Krishna will protect you.
Pranata dehinam papakarshanam.
So Krishna, whoever offers pranams to you or surrenders to you, papa karshanam, you can take away all their papa, sinful reactions. You are known for it. You are prasiddha for it. I was referring to that shloka from Chaurashtakam.
Vraje prasiddham navanita chauram gopanganam chadukula chauram anyeka janma arjita papa chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami Sri Radhikaya Hrudayasya Chauram Navambudhasya Malakanti Chauram Padashritanam Chasamasta Chauram Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami
Padashritanam Chasamasta Chauram. If you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, if you really follow this process of charanagati, you will be a beggar. You will be deprived of everything. You will be bankrupt completely. Samasta chauram. Padashritanam cha samasta. Samasta means everything is completely looted from you. If at all you have some attachment to your possessions or positions or privileges, don't surrender to Krishna. Right? That means surrender to Krishna. If you are so attached to material possession, surrender to Krishna. He will destroy that attachment. If you are not attached to your possessions, of course you have to surrender to Krishna. That's why it is said, Akamaha sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you have all kinds of material desires or you have no material desire at all, or you are specifically desiring for moksha, liberation, surrender unto Krishna. Why?
Padashritanam cha samasta chauram chauragraganyam purusham namami.
He will completely take away all your possessions, samasta, everything that you have will be completely taken away. You know what is an intelligent thing to do after knowing this line? Padashritanam cha samasta chauram. Before he takes away all things from us, we offer everything to him. That's the best thing to do, best plan. Krishna, you don't have to come to my home and then steal everything, samasta chauram, and become praje prasiddham, become famous as a big thief. I will not make you famous as a thief. I will offer everything to you. No, no, I want to steal. No, I will give everything. You don't have to steal. There are other people who are holding on. You steal from them. I will offer you. So Krishna likes this flavor also. Voluntary surrender. Right? Gopis say. Gopis sometimes tell Mother Yashoda, Yashoda Mata, your son comes to our homes and steals butter, steals our milk. Mother Yashoda says, how miserly you people are. My son, little child, he's very hungry. He must have come to your home while playing. He's hungry. Can't you give him little milk? What will you lose if you just give him a cup of milk in a cooler with some malai on top of it? Then the gopis say that if you offer him milk, he will not take. Because you are feeding him 8 times in a day with Yashoda Mata. His belly is always full with different kinds of delicious milk products. He's always full. He doesn't have taste for the milk that we offer. He has taste for stealing. Right? He likes to steal. He wants to steal our butter. He wants to steal our clothes. He wants to steal our hearts. He wants to steal the hearts of those people who are hearing his stealing pastimes also. As we are discussing the stealing pastimes of Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly, he's stealing our hearts. That's why we are smiling. When Krishna steals something from us, we'll smile. When common thief steals something from us, we'll cry. So let him steal. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Choram. Krishna steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Navambudhasyamala Kanti Choram. He steals the dark blue color of the clouds. He stole it from there and he became bluish. And the peacock saw Krishna, thought that cloud has come there and started dancing. Then they realized it's not cloud, it's Krishna. But anyways, Krishna looks like cloud, let's continue to dance. And Krishna joined them and he also danced. And peacocks gave a feather, just like this. Krishna valued this little feather of a peacock and kept it on his head. Can you just imagine? So when somebody offers you a gift, if you take the gift and then touch it to your head, you are valuing it. Right? Especially when you receive a spiritual gift, you should do it out of respect, not out of formality. Right? So Krishna valued that little offering and kept on his head. Right? Shirodharyam. So now these gopis are saying, Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. So you completely steal the papa, sinful reactions of all people who surrender unto you. Trinacharanugam Shri Niketanam. Trinachara anugam. Very interesting description. You're able to follow? Too much Sanskrit? I don't know Sanskrit at all, by the way. I'm just reading word-to-word meanings of Prabhupada books and I'm saying this. Trina means, you know Trina, right? Blade of grass. Trinachara means those who feast on this little grasses, or those who walk on grasses and eat the grasses. Basically, Trinachara means this cows. Trinachara anugam means one who follows the footsteps of this cow, that is Gopal Krishna. Trinachara anugam Shri Niketanam. See this beautiful contradiction in Krishna's character. Shri Niketanam means he's the husband of Goddess of Fortune, the residence of Goddess of Fortune, master of Lakshmi Devi, master of all opulences in the entire cosmic manifestation, master of all the spiritual worlds and material worlds. But he's walking behind cows like a cowherd boy, wearing a simple turban and a small dhoti and then holding a flute and then walking as if he is very poor. Trinacharanugam Shri Niketanam. Fani Vanarpitam Te Padambujam. Fani Vana Arpitam. Fani. Fani means snake. Fana means hood. Fani means that entity who has so many hoods. Now they sell these jackets, right? Hoodie. Right? There is a hood on top of you. So, Fani Fana means this snake that has so many hoods. Fani Fana Arpitam means, Lord, you have offered this to your, to the hoods of this hoodie, whatever, our Kaliya serpent. What did you offer? Padambujam. You offered your lotus feet. If you have noticed this shloka is a glorification of Krishna's lotus feet. See the first line? Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. If you offer obeisances to Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna will take your sinful reactions. So offering obeisances to lotus feet. Morning Maharaj was saying, bow down. First point, bow down. Second, Trinachara Anugam, those same lotus feet, follow the footsteps of the cows, or hoofsteps of hoof prints of the cows. And the same lotus feet are imprinted on the hoods of Kaliya. And we want that lotus feet. Krunukuche shunaha krundhirichayam. Please give us also access to those lotus feet and destroy our heartfelt desires and this pain of separation, Krishna. Their pray. Next loka. The gopis are saying, Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya.
Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya.
Buddha manognaya pushkarekshana.
Buddha manognaya pushkarekshana.
Vidhi garirima vira muhyati.
Vidhi garirima vira muhyati.
Adharasidhuna pyayayasvana.
Adharasidhuna pyayayasvana.
Recite once again. Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya. Madhuraya means very sweet. What is sweet? Gira. Krishna's voice is so sweet. Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya means Krishna's conversations and statements are very, very appealing, very, very pleasing, very attractive. He can completely enchant the hearts of his sweethearts, either in Dwaraka or in Mathura, by his very, very clever conversations. And he even accepts defeat in the hands of his beloved gopis sometimes in their conversations, and that is also expertise to accept defeat. So basically Krishna is expert in conversations, and Krishna is so clever in his conversations that even great pandits also get impressed the way Krishna speaks. Buddha-manognaya pushkarekshana. Buddha-manognaya. Buddha means very, very advanced people, very intelligent people, very thoughtful people. Manognaya. Krishna's words are so impressive even to intelligent people. Generally, intelligent people don't get impressed so easily. You keep on speaking, no reciprocation. What you are saying doesn't make much sense, doesn't sound very rational or logical to them. Or doesn't impress their intelligence. Oh, it's like a childish talk he's doing. Say something profound, more profound. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Even after 5,000 years, still people are trying to figure out what is akarma, vikarma, what is action in inaction, inaction in action, how to raise above this action and inaction. People are unable to figure out till now. So Krishna's words are very expert and philosophical, and sometimes very cryptic, that even great philosophers cannot understand. At the same time, Krishna's words are so sweet and appealing and relatable and digestible and understandable even by simple-hearted people also. He can do both. Generally, big scholars cannot impress innocent people. And those who are able to impress innocent people with simple statements cannot impress scholars. Krishna is both.
madhuraya giravalgu vakyaya budhamanognaya pushkarekshana vidhikaririma viramuhyati. By remembering your conversations and statements, Krishna, our mind is getting bewildered. Please come back. Don't allow us to get bewildered more and more. Sometimes when the other person doesn't reciprocate with you, doesn't fulfill your expectations and leaves you in great confusion and bewilderment, you're unable to give up attachment to that person, or you're unable to decipher what he is trying to say or do, getting completely confused and frustrated, the gopis are feeling like that. What exactly is there in your mind, Krishna? Please reveal. Right? So, muhyatir, we are getting bewildered. Veera, you are a great hero. We understand that, but we are getting bewildered by your words and actions. Please come back and give us some darshan and give some clarification. Who are you exactly? That's why after Krishna came back, they asked this MCQ. You remember? 3 days back we were discussing. What kind of reciprocator are you? Are you a motivated lover who reciprocates with others only when they love him? Or are you an unmotivated lover? You reciprocate with people despite their indifference. Are you totally neutral kind of personality who don't reciprocate with anyone under any circumstances? Who exactly are you? We are unable to understand. You only please clear this puzzle. Then Krishna very cleverly said, I purposely don't reciprocate with my devotees and purposely keep them in separation so that I can intensify their prema and longing for me and taste that intensified love and longing for me. This is my style. Oh, really? But the gopis have not yet heard this statement. Therefore, they are saying, Veera Mohyatir, we are getting bewildered. Please come back. Adharasi dhuna pyayayasvanaha. Please give us the nectar of your lips. What does it mean? Krishna plays his flute. Krishna fills the holes of this flute with the nectar of his lips. We want to hear your flute. We can't even hear your flute also. You have disappeared so much that we are unable to even hear your flute now. Where are you exactly? At least your flute will give us some kind of solace. Randhran venora dhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindair vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. So Krishna is filling the nectar of his lips into the holes of this flute and generating mesmerizing ragas, melodies that very seamlessly blend into the natural sounds of Vrindavan. So Krishna is playing flute and there are some natural sounds of Vrindavan, like birds are chirping, waterfalls, and then cows are moving and the peacocks are making their sounds and sparrows are making their sounds and parrots, they are making their sounds, chirping as we were sitting there. So Krishna expertly blends his flute song into this natural sounds of Vrindavan. The gopis are longing for that now. Next shloka.
Tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham.
Tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam
tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham.
Tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham.
Shravana mangalam srimadatatam.
Shravana mangalam srimadatatam.
Bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana.
Bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana.
Tava kathamrutam.
Tava means your, Krishna. Kathamrutam means the nectar of the narration of your topics, O Krishna. Tava kathamritam. What is the effect of Krishna kathamritam, the nectarian topics of Krishna?
tapta jivanam. Tapta means one who is undergoing unlimited tapas. Tapa means misery. There are three types of miseries. You know what are they? Adhyatmika, adibhautika, adhidhivika kleshas. Those are undergoing all these kinds of miseries. They are called tapta. They are called people who are rotting in this material existence. Jivanam, for such people who are struggling in this material world, your words are like jivanam. Your words are like life-inducing nectar. Tava katha amritam. They are dying because of tapas. For them, they need some nectar, right? That nectar is this tava katha. Tava katha amritam. Now, let's go a little deep into this shloka. I think I'll spend the remaining 20 minutes on this shloka only, probably. I'll try to speed up, but let's see. Tava kathamritam has two meanings. What is tava kathamritam here? One way is the katha spoken about Krishna. Second meaning is the katha spoken by Krishna. The katha spoken by Krishna is Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita. And the katha spoken about Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam and many other Vaishnava literatures. That is tava kathamritam. It has two meanings. Clear? Now second phrase. Tapta jivanam. It has two meanings again. There's a quiz after the class, by the way. So, not reflections, quiz. Tapta jivanam means life for those who are suffering. There are two meanings. Who is suffering? Two types of people suffer. One, the conditioned souls suffer because of the threefold miseries of material existence. And what is the second meaning? Who is the second category of people who are suffering? Devotees. Who are the devotees in the current context? Gopis are the devotees. They are also suffering. But they are not suffering adhyatmika, adibhautika, adidevika kleshas. They are suffering not because of their own personal sense gratificatory desires. Because kama leads to karma, karma leads to klesha. That's the general reason for suffering. Kama is the reason for suffering. Material desires will lead to karma, material actions, and material actions lead to material reactions, klesha. That's the line. But gopis did not have kama, gopis did not have karma. Where is klesha for them? Then why are they suffering? They are suffering because of separation from Krishna. The suffering of a pure devotee is characterized by feelings of separation from Krishna. Interestingly, the suffering of a conditioned soul is also characterized by separation from Krishna. This is also separation, that is also separation. Conditioned soul is in separation from Krishna, devotee is also in separation from Krishna. What's the difference between these two separations? This separation is characterized by forgetfulness of Krishna, and this separation is characterized by remembrance of Krishna. Love, correct. Loving remembrance of Krishna. So, the gopis are intensely loving Krishna and remembering Krishna with that love, but not getting reciprocation for that love and loving remembrance. Therefore, they are suffering. That's the two meanings. Got it? First phrase has two meanings. Second phrase also has two meanings. Let's go to the third phrase. Kavi bhiriditam kalmashapaham. Kavi bhiriditam. Who is a kavi? Poet. A great poet. In Sanskrit, poet is called kavi. Kavi bhir iditam means this kathamritam of Krishna, the nectarian topics of Krishna spoken by Krishna, spoken about Krishna, they are sung by great kavis. That's a basic meaning. But there are two meanings here. When you say kavi, there are two types of kavis in this context. One, ancient poets. Two, modern poets. So ancient poets like Vyasadeva and many other great sages, they spoke Krishna Katha. They wrote Krishna Katha in the form of their books, Vedas and Puranas and Srimad Bhagavatam. But that is not sufficient. Krishna Katha is spoken by ancient poets also, and it has to be spoken by modern poets also. In the recent past, Srila Prabhupada, before that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, many other great devotees also spoke, modern poets. If Vyasadeva has written everything, why after 4,500 years again Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they have to write. And if they have written everything, why again, just 50 years back, Prabhupada has to write? Because times are changing. If no one, or many people in this planet may not have the bandwidth or ability to directly read the Sanskrit shlokas written by Vyasadeva, or even the Bengali commentaries or Sanskrit commentaries written by acharyas who appeared few centuries back. Therefore, Prabhupada put all of that into English. So this Krishna Katha must be presented and represented and represented repeatedly presented according to the needs of changing times. Same Bhagavatam, it has to be presented in multiple formats so that people can understand, people from various backgrounds can connect with it and understand it. Srila Prabhupada has studied all the commentaries and he distilled the essence of the teachings of all the previous acharyas and then put the whole thing in a format that the modern man in this 21st century can understand. Right? So, ancient poets and modern poets. And this will continue. In future also to present this Bhagavatam knowledge or Bhagavad Gita knowledge or scriptural knowledge in a format that will be understood by future generations, we may have to present in a different format. Same Krishna Katha, if it is presented in a forum where all our seasoned devotees practicing bhakti for a long time, we present it in a certain style, certain way. But if I present it to a totally new crowd, presentation has to be a little different. If you are speaking to youth, college students, it has to be in a different style. Examples must be more relatable to them. If you are speaking to children, that has to be in a different style. So, poets must present this repeatedly. That's why Kavi Bhiridhitam refers to ancient poets and modern poets. Clear? Two meanings. Fourth, Kalma Shapaham. Kalmasha means contamination. Kalmashapaha means Krishna Katha will destroy the kalmasha, destroy the contamination in the hearts of all people. Again, it has two meanings. There are two types of kalmashas. So we are seeing kathas are two types, tapta are two types, kavis are two types, kalmasha is also two types. What are the two types of kalmasha? One type is Hridaya Kalmasha, where there is a lot of contamination in the heart in the form of lust, envy, pride, greed, all these bad qualities are one type of Kalmasha on an individual plane. Second type of Kalmasha is Kali Kalmasha. This Kali Yuga comes with a great contamination. It's a contaminating age. That is Kali Kalmasha. One is internal contamination, second is external contamination. One is contamination on an individual plane, second is contamination on a big global plane, universal plane. Too much of contamination all over the world. So Krishna Katha will protect us from the external contamination and internal contamination also. Krishna Katha will purify our hearts by entering into our ear holes. You have heard that shloka? Pravishtaha karana randhrena svanam bhavasaroruham dhunoti shamalam krishnaha salilasya yathasharat. When the Krishna Katha enters into our ear holes, that will completely wash away all the contamination in the hearts. That is kalmashapaham. And Kali. Kali Yuga is filled with so many faults and that faults must be eradicated. The misconceptions of Kali Yuga people must be eradicated. Krishna Katha will do that. Bhagavatam will do that. Bhagavatam is filled with Krishna Katha. Bhagavatam is written, one of the purposes of Bhagavatam is to destroy the contamination or the misconceptions of the misdirected civilization of Kali Yuga. Fifth point. Shravana Mangalam. You're okay? You're able to follow? Getting bored? You know? Getting too analytical and technical? Give us more, any more. Shravana Mangalam. Shravana means hearing. Mangala means auspiciousness. When you hear Harikatha, that will create greatest auspiciousness. Shravana Mangalam. So, Krishna Katha creates greatest auspiciousness in our lives. Therefore, it must be spread everywhere. Srimad Atatam means it has to be spread everywhere. So finally, the gopis say, Bhuvi grinanti bhurida jana. Those are trying to spread or broadcast the glories of Krishna are bhurida jana. They are extremely benevolent personalities. Again, this has multiple meanings. Bhurida jana, bhurida means very, very magnanimous and benevolent personality. And that magnanimous souls are of two types. One, those are actually speaking Krishna Katha. Second, those are making arrangements for Krishna Katha. Those are organizing Krishna Kathas. Those are facilitating devotees to gather together and hear Harikatha. So, this, the gopis of Vrindavan are glorifying the process of Krishna Katha in various ways. This happens to be the one of the middle most shlokas of Gopi Gita, which is the middle most chapter of Rasa Panchadhyaya, which is like the cream of 10th canto, which is like the essence of entire Bhagavatam. There, preaching is glorified. Spreading of Krishna consciousness is glorified. So, but our discussion on this shloka did not end now. There's more to it. I only discussed the positive meaning or positive meanings of this shloka. But there is another meaning. You can't call it negative, but it's like more rasic meaning, which is coming out from the depths of the gopis, quote unquote, frustrated or disappointed hearts in a mode of chastising Krishna. You know what they say? Tava kathamritam, tava kathamritam. Whoever hears about your pastimes will die. Not amritam, mritam. Tapta jivanam. It will only torment the lives of people. Tapta jivanam. It will only irritate them, bother them, trouble them, torment them. That is tapta jivanam. Then kavi bhiriditam. Only kavis speak. Those who have some kind of excitement in poetry, those people only will speak this Krishna Katha, Kavi Bhiriditam. Kalma Shapaham, I forgot, there is another interesting perspective from Vishnu Jagar Thakur's commentary. Kalma Shapaham, I forgot. Then Shravana Mangalam Srimad Adatam. Srimad means wealthy people. This wealthy people try to spread your glories by organizing kathas, by sponsoring kathas, so that they can destroy all common people. Tava kathamritam. This wealthy people organize kathas, and those who attend the katha, they will die see hearing Krishna katha. Because tava katha is mritam, right? It has to go. Then they can continue as wealthiest people, something like that. So this is how the gopis are kind of chastising Krishna. Of course, this meaning is not for us. And this meaning should not be taken literally also. The initial meaning is most important meaning, right? So let's go to the next shloka. Prahasitam priya prema vikshadam viharanam chate dhyana mangalam.
Prahasitam priya prema vikshadam
rahasi samvido ya hridi sprisha
rahasi samvido ya hridi sprisha
kuhakano manah kshobhayanti
kuhakano manah kshobhayanti
prahasitam priya prema vikshanam. They are speaking that, Oh Krishna, you are very dear to us. Prema Vikshanam, your glances are filled with love and abundant grace. Prahasitam, you are also smiling with so much of satisfaction. Your smiles and your glances. Hridisprishaha, they touch our hearts, right? And not only smiles and glances, viharanam chate dhyanamangalam. Viharanam means your pastimes. Vihar, you're traveling from this place to that place in Vrindavan. Your wanderings, your wonderful wanderings, they are dhyanamangalam. They create great auspiciousness for those who meditate upon them. In the previous shloka, they said Shravana Mangalam. Now they are saying Dhyana Mangalam. Means hearing Krishna's pastimes is auspicious. Meditating on Krishna's pastimes is also auspicious. Viharanam chate Dhyana Mangalam. Rahasi Samvido Yahridisprisha. Rahasi Samvido. Whenever we meet secretly, they always have to meet secretly only. Whenever they meet secretly, Krishna speaks something and those conversations, Hridisprisha, they touch our hearts, they touch the core of our hearts. And Kuhaka no manaha kshobhayantihi. Kshobhayanti, they create great pain in our hearts whenever we meditate upon them. Why? We can't access them again. We only got a little taste or trailer of that, but now we lost it. That creates a lot of disturbance in our minds. So this is how the gopis are expressing their anguish. I think we'll stop here. 10 shlokas. We have 9 more. Maybe another time. Maybe next Charanagati retreat. Maybe. We don't know. I don't know. Maharaj will decide. I think we'll stop here. So it's getting hotter also. Any questions or comments? One. Yes, Prabhu.
In the beginning of the 9th shloka, you mentioned that the tapt jivan is also meant for gopis, the pain in separation. But that didn't connect with the other lines of the tapt jivan word is used for gopis.
Ah, correct. Good. You reminded it. So, Krishna Kathamritam are the nectarian narrations of Krishna will pacify or console devotees who are suffering the pain of separation. So when all these gopis are suffering this feelings of separation from Krishna, what did they do? They gathered together and they started meditating on Krishna's pastimes. They started narrating Krishna's pastimes to each other, even enacting Krishna's pastimes. That's how it is life for them, tapta jivanam. Does it make sense?
But how did it connect with the other lines?
Tavakathamritam tapta jivanam kabhi bhire. I mean, they are speaking multiple aspects of Krishna katha. How? Different effects of Krishna katha. Krishna kathamritam will mitigate the sufferings of great souls and gopis. That is one. Then Sravana Mangalam, that is another. Kavi Bhiriditam, great poets also describe. So these are different aspects of Krishna Katha. Any other question, comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful lecture. Actually, Piyushitam, there was a word. So I was confused that Virta is also many types of two types. Virta for Purushas and Virta for Yoshitas. You may describe it more.
Veera is Krishna here, not gopis.
Yeah. So he is veer for Yushita only?
For everybody.
But here it is said, specifically said veer for Yushita.
They are Yushita. They are Yushita, right? They are gopis. Your gopis are ladies. So you are our hero, they are saying. Any objection? Thank you. This is a problem with knowing Sanskrit. Vera Yoshita means, oh, they are like powerful ladies. Is that what we are trying to say? Or Krishna is Veera only for Yoshita and not for Purusha? Actually speaking, there is only Yoshita in the entire cosmos except Krishna. Only Krishna is the Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti, isn't it? So Veera Yoshita makes sense? In that sense, we are not Purushas, by the way. We are Prakriti living in a male body with Purusha mentality. We have Purusha mentality. We are not Purusha, we are Prakriti. All Jivas are Prakriti. You want proof? Go to 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Aparayamitasthvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param. We are also Prakriti. Jiva Bhuta Mahabahu, they are Prakriti. But they have Purusha Bhava. Okay. Any other question?
Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, you mentioned that the crocodile was actually divided by the Sudarshan Chakra. And then he had gone back to the heavenly planets. Actually, he had the darshan of the Lord. So he did not have liberation just because he did not have the devotional intention. Is this correct understanding, Prabhupada?
I don't remember reading or hearing anything about it. He got liberated from the crocodile body, but he did not go back to Godhead. He did not go to Vaikuntha. Maybe he'll go later, we don't know. So many demons that Krishna has killed in Krishna Leela, some of them went to the spiritual world, but some of them just regained their previous positions. For example, Arishtasur is a Brahmana named Varatantu. Krishna killed Arishtasur. Then Arishtasura again went back to his previous position as Varatantu, a Brahmana, and he continued his other activities. So,
and from the story of from the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, you mentioned that Yaksha's king was Kuvera. So Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. So how can a treasurer of demigods be the king of Yaksha?
Maybe he's playing two roles. Any other principle oriented, application oriented, nourishing kind of questions? Yeah, there's one hand.
You were going back to Gajendra's narrations. You said that the crocodile was holding his leg for 1,000 years. I was pondering on that. Is that also indicating that for the practitioner, it needs some time of kind of suffering to come to the point of, oh, I really should surrender to Krishna?
It's not a mandatory prerequisite. Mm-hmm. It is a possibility. Because of undergoing tremendous amount of distress for a long time, one may develop some inclination to surrender to Krishna. But it's not necessary that everyone has to undergo that amount of suffering to come to the stage of surrendering to Krishna. They can see a devotee, by the blessings of a devotee, they can immediately develop that mode of surrender. For example, Bali Maharaj, he is not a sadhana siddha. He is not an artha bhakta. He is not an artharthi bhakta. Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj blessed him and sincerely desired that Bali Maharaj becomes a pure devotee. And Bali Maharaj is blessed. Okay. Thank you. Any other question? If you like, you can ask questions from the previous sessions also. From Akrura section or Dhruva Maharaj section or Uddhava, anything. We could not have Q&A every day.
Hare Krishna. Well, thank you so much for all the classes. It was really very motivating and inspiring. I had a question from Dhruva Maharaj's pastime when you shared that I wanted to ask that how can we apply the principle of determination? Like, how can we, are there some like Maharaj told today, some easygoing steps, like 3 steps he told, like some steps we can follow to evolve the realm of Krishna consciousness. Mm.
Some steps. One step is
some practices to be more determined to get this quality of determination to Dhruva Maharaj. So it's so much attached to Krishna.
One step is definitely to repeatedly read the story of Dhruva Maharaj and many other devotees who maintained that dedication and determination in the path of bhakti. Another step or another tip is to associate with devotees who are living around us, whose determination levels are little better than us. So, one, learning from devotees whose stories are described in the Shastra. Second, learning from the qualities of a devotee who is living around us. So these two will work wonders. And thirdly, we should personally apply the lessons that we have learned from these great souls. Does it make sense, Madhavi? Any other question?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your wonderfully inspiring and insightful lectures and for giving us the Bhagavatam in such a deep and very practical way. So very grateful for that. My question is connected to the moods of union and separation from the katha you gave on Uddhava going to Vrindavan. At the beginning when you mentioned that the fact that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, you said that when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, he found two Vrindavans. One with those who are in the mood of union, and another one with gopis in separation. So my question is, if this mood of union is available in Vrindavan, can we also say that in a way the separation of the gopis is also their choice to relish deeper sentiments of love?
Definitely. For relishing deeper sentiments, relishing that Madhurya Prema in the Vipralamba Bhava. But as far as choice is concerned, we are not fully sure. Sometimes the pastimes of the spiritual world or even Bhauma Vrindavan are orchestrated by Krishna's will, which is understood by Yogamaya, and that Yogamaya covers even Krishna's knowledge also. Yogamaya has multiple facets of covering Krishna and his devotees. One is Swamohana Shakti, second is Svajana Mohana Shakti. So Swamohana means Krishna's Yogamaya will cover himself only. He will forget. By his desire, he wanted to experience his connection with his gopas, gopis in a certain way, and Yogamaya will overwhelm him with those feelings, whatever is required to facilitate that exchange, and Krishna himself will forget. He himself will get bewildered. And Svajana Mohana, sometimes gopis get bewildered. So ultimately it is Krishna's desire, but within the purview of the pastime, sometimes it is not seen apparently as a deliberate desire or choice made by the devotees or the Lord. It is being orchestrated by the Lord's spiritual energy or Yogamaya in a way so that some relish comes out naturally. Otherwise, if Krishna, for example, let me give a simpler example of Vatsalya Prema. When Krishna was neglected by Mother Yashoda apparently, she was feeding milk and then she kept Krishna aside to save that milk which is boiling over. Then Krishna became frustrated and he started crying. And acharyas say that the tears of Krishna are genuine tears. He is really crying. Hare Krishna. So Krishna was genuinely crying. They are not false tears or fake tears. They are real tears. Why? Because Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna is so intense. So intense that to sufficiently reciprocate with Mother Yashoda's motherly love, Krishna has to completely get absorbed in the identity of being a son of Mother Yashoda. He cannot have the identity of Upadrishta, Anumanta, Paramatma, Bharta, Bhokta. Maheshwara. He cannot have this kind of identities. I am the creator, I am the maintainer, I am the destroyer, I am the proprietor. Krishna keeps his identity kit aside. It's like Maharaj was guiding us that we have to keep our identity kit aside and identify ourselves only as a servant of Krishna to effectively chant the holy names of the Lord. Similarly, in Vrindavan, Krishna keeps his identity kit aside. I am not the creator of the cosmos. I am not the source of avatars. I am not Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. What is my identity? I am just the son of Mother Yashoda. No other identity. So when Krishna is absorbed in this identity of being a son of Mother Yashoda, and Yashoda neglects him, Krishna cries. Genuine tears, not false tears. Now don't see Krishna as God here. See Krishna as a small child, 2-3-year-old boy, who is neglected by mother apparently. And he's very disappointed and angry. And Acharyas also give this point. A person's integrity has to be tested by what he or she does when nobody's around. So nobody was around at that time. Rohini Mata was not there, Nanda Maharaj was not there, Balram was not there, Yashoda Mata was not there, Krishna was alone in that room and he's crying, means they are genuine tears. Right? So this is under the influence of Yoga Maya. Krishna forgets that he is God and is absorbed in the mood of being a son of Mother Yashoda, and then he is crying genuine tears. So Krishna himself, ultimately it is his choice, it is his will to forget. But once he desires like that, he will forget that he has desired it, and Yoga Maya takes over, and Yoga Maya does the needful so that Krishna continues and participates in the pastime. Does it make sense, Mataji?
Yes, yes, thank you very much. Also answered one question that I had from before. So, I have another small question which is somewhat connected, if you allow.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, if you could say a few words then of those devotees who are in the mood of union in Vrindavan, and in what phase are they relationship?
I mean, when Krishna was there in Vrindavan, or when Akrura took him? Took him.
You said there are two Vrindavans after he left. Because in a way he never leaves Vrindavan. They said there are those who are in union because it's very good.
Akrura saw, Uddhava, when he came to Vrindavan, he saw one facet of Vrindavan where it is very blissful and happy. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that this is some set of Rajavasis or one facet of Vrindavan who are experiencing the union of Vrindavan. And presence of Krishna, union of Krishna and presence of Krishna. But later Uddhava saw another facet of Vrindavan where the devotees are in separation from Krishna. So this is manifest, and that union part is not fully manifest, at least within that purports, that's all I could get. There may be more detail to it, Maharaj, if you wish. Yes.
My question is about surrendering to Krishna and the fear as a condition of surrender. So we see from the Shastras and examples, for instance, Gajendra, which you quoted, he was able to surrender after 1,000 years of suffering and experiencing or seeing that nobody else can help him. Or we hear also the Draupadi, she eventually surrendered and there was nobody else who could help her. But how do we surrender when we feel in our heart that Krishna would like us to go like a step deeper in our spiritual life? So we are not suffering, he's inviting us to surrender, but somehow or other, you know, we are a little bit waiting and not able to do that step out of some fear.
Some devotees in the past have surrendered, completely surrendered to Krishna, when they experienced great difficulties. Now we are not that desperate. How does that mood of surrender manifest in our lives? The mood of surrender manifests in our lives by following the teachings of our Acharyas. Acharyas say there are 6 aspects of surrender. anukulyasa sankalpam pratikulyasa varjanam. So in our sadhaka life, our expression of surrender or our imbibing of that mood of surrender is through adopting whatever is favorable for bhakti and avoiding whatever is unfavorable for bhakti. That is our surrender. We surrender to the rule. Yes, we surrender to the policies and protocols and prescriptions and prohibitions or do's and don'ts as given to us by the acharyas, regimen given to us by the acharyas. Why? Why is this rule consciousness? I need to be spontaneous. Because we are not on that level. We are vaidhi sadhana bhaktas, right? So vidhis, following the vidhis is our surrender. So for a sadhaka, for a vaidhi sadhaka, surrendering to the vidhi is the surrender. That is a sharanagati. And when somebody transcends that level of vaidhi sadhana, then the spontaneity will manifest. Spontaneous surrender will manifest. Right? But in a sadhaka life, yeah, definitely there is some difficulty in our lives. Somebody has some health crisis or financial crisis. They lose their beloved one suddenly. So that intense phase of pain may aid their surrender, may help them surrender in a more desperate manner. In the mood of Draupadi, in the mood of a child who is crying for mother, or in the mood of Gajendra who is suffering because of the crocodile. So this can manifest situationally, but it is not one of the six aspects of surrender. That's a circumstance somehow happened in someone's life, right? That aids surrender. But it's not a mandatory item that everybody should face a calamity, then only surrender, sharanagati will manifest in their lives. It may not happen. Somebody directly surrenders with, although there is happiness everywhere. You see, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, Prabhupada writes, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata had, I think, 8 daughters before Vishwambhar appeared, before Vishwarupa appeared. They lost. They're in pain. They took shelter of Lord Govinda. But finally, after losing so many daughters, they got one surviving child, Vishwarup. Again they surrendered. Again they worshipped Lord Govinda. So Prabhupada writes a simple point. Whether it is happiness or distress, devotee always takes shelter of Krishna. Right? They're very exalted devotees. Sometimes distress may help us be more desperate in taking shelter of Krishna. That's fine. That's a circumstance. But for a sadhaka, following the 6 steps of surrender is what is recommended by acharyas. Adopting whatever is favorable, avoiding whatever is unfavorable, and karpanya, atma nikshepa, means feeling oneself totally incapable of doing anything, and feeling very humble at heart. Then Guptritve Varanam means Krishna is the only protector, having complete faith in Krishna's protection. So that mood, that is the surrender that is recommended for our by our acharyas. Does it make sense, Mataji? Maharaj, you want to add anything? You want to add anything, Maharaj?
Thank you so much, Prabhupada, for these classes. I have 2 questions. They're very different, if you don't mind.
Mm.
The first one, when we are meditating on the pastimes and on the different levas, is there space for us to include ourselves in these levas, like seeing ourselves as the gopis or being in the temple with Prahlad or in his struggles? Like, are we allowed to put ourselves in that? Or is that a distraction? Because now we're like fantasizing, so is that kind of a distraction from us actually meditating on the pastime?
For a vaidhi sadhaka bhakta,
yes,
who is still struggling to control one's senses,
yes,
who is still battling with the anarthas of lust, envy, pride, greed,
yes,
it's better not to imagine oneself as Gopi or Gopa or Prahlad, etc. Better try to be attentive as much as humanly possible in our japa and do whatever services assigned to us by the spiritual master and spiritual authorities, and study Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we cross this big stage of anartha nivritti, then some kind of steadiness will manifest in our sadhana. As of now, our sadhana may be very unsteady. Struggling sadhaka's sadhana is little unsteady. What is this unsteadiness? Because of anarthas. But to cross that phase of unsteady practice of devotional service and come to steady practice, or in Sanskrit, using technical words, to cross this phase of anishtita bhakti and come to the nishtita bhakti platform, we need to regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttam ashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. The first priority of a struggling sadhaka is to acquire some steadiness in one sadhana. Bhaktir bhavati naishtika. Is my bhakti naishtiki? Naishtiki means nishta. Is there a nishta, steadiness in the sadhana? Steadiness is not there means anarthas are still there. So anarthas are still there, steadiness is not there. Where is the possibility of putting ourselves in the role of gopis or gopas? Or if you are making a drama, then you can put yourself in that role. It's a drama for the pleasure of all Vaishnavas, then we can definitely play the role of Yashoda Mata or some gopa for that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour drama. And thus develop some appreciation for them. But artificially, immaturely, and prematurely imagining ourselves in that position could create some unnecessary utpata. Utpata eva kalpate. Aikantiki harer bhakti utpata eva kalpate. Shruti smriti puranadi pancharatra vidhimina. So we need to follow the regimen given by the scriptures as sadhakas. When somebody crosses that level of anartha nivritti and then comes to study practice and develops bhava, then they are on their own. They can make some choices. I'm like this, I'm like that. Otherwise, if a struggling sadhaka still having some anarthas imitates the behavior of gopis, Prabhupada calls them sahajiyas. Yes, Upadeshamrita last few shlokas present very high levels of, advanced levels of bhakti, where devotee meditates on the pastimes. But that's a raganuga sadhana. But vaidhi sadhakas cannot do that, raganuga sadhakas can do that. Okay, does it make sense? Answer it.
Yes. So, going into the second question, it's when we are going through these songs of the gopis, there were moments where, I guess I was picking up, you know, especially in verse 9, where there's two meanings, right? And then one meaning, it's like positive and negative, but one had like a level of sarcasm within it. And then we see in Kali Yuga, like, sarcasm is completely exaggerated upon, and people use it in very harmful and malicious ways. How does one who's still growing in bhakti then read these text
without then putting that lens on top of this and can relate to the gopis, but then I don't feel that like the material pains of someone speaking sarcasm in a negative way to me?
First, we need to read the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam systematically. Then we read Bhagavatam 10th canto up to 28th chapter systematically. And carefully see how Krishna is killing demons like Putana, Aghasur, Bakasur, Vatsasur, Vyomasur, Kaliya, subduing Kaliya, Brahmi Munila. So in all these, many of these demons represent various anarthas. And Krishna is destroying them, means Krishna is destroying the anarthas that are represented by those demons. Then comes Rasa Panchadhyaya. So, without having this background of reading the first 9 cantos and understanding Krishna's greatness, and without having sufficient understanding of Krishna's initial childhood leelas, there's some Aishwarya in the first 5 chapters of 10th canto, then slowly demon killing pastimes will come. There is also display of little Aishwarya there, although it's happening in the Madhurya Dham. Then pure Madhurya comes little later, Rasapanchadhyaya, from 29th chapter. So, Prabhupada says the qualification to read Bhagavatam is systematically read from first chapter to last chapter, chapter by chapter, canto by canto, shloka by shloka, purport by purport. Then, when we see little sarcasm or criticism made by the gopis, criticizing Krishna, we will not see it as material sarcasm. When Yashoda Mata is chastising Krishna, we will not see that as, Krishna is an ordinary child. We will not have that impression at all. Because we understand this little child who is being chastised by or criticized by the gopis of Vrindavan is the supreme creator, maintainer, destroyer. We studied all the second canto chats, very exhaustive process of creation. We went through the 5th canto Bhagavatam cosmology. We saw Kapila's teachings, karma path, jnana path, yoga path. And we also slightly saw karma mishra jnana, jnana mishra karma, my God, so much complication. And we also saw examples of so many devotees like Vritrasur, Chitraketu Maharaj, Indra's struggles. We saw examples of so many mixed bhaktas and pure bhaktas. We saw Dhruva Maharaj's example. Those who have serious material ambition slowly translated into pure devotional service. So many lessons up to 9th canto of Bhagavatam. And so many descriptions of Krishna's majesty, grandeur and opulence and powers, vibhutis. Then we come to the sweet leela of Vrindavan. We will not misunderstand it. If you directly jump there, then there is a possibility of misunderstanding. So then we think that this sarcasm or this criticism is material. I can also criticize Krishna like that. Gopis are saying, I'm following the footsteps of gopis. So, for us not to come to that conclusion, we need to study the 9 cantos thoroughly. Not like a scholar or an academician, but like a devotee, looking for inspiration, like an essence seeker. Does it make sense, Madhuri?
Yes, and we change the thing then actively applying within, and learning from like each story, what anarthas are there, and then how they show up in myself, rectifying that, and then moving on systematically would be helpful.
Huh?
Clearing that out within myself. So if I see that, you know, I'm not being humble, and I'm learning that from one story, learning that from Dhruva, right? How to be humble. And I see that that's something I struggle with. I shouldn't be sitting with that story for a lot longer until I can move through that within myself, correct?
Yeah, well, different pastimes describe different kinds of lessons, present different kinds of lessons. When we are particularly struggling with some anartha, some unwanted personality trait within us, and if some pastimes or some lessons in that pastime help us overcome that, then we can focus on that. If somebody is struggling with lust, then they can go through 8th canto 12th chapter, 9th canto 14th chapter, 11th canto 26th chapter. Means these are pastimes of Shiva running behind Mohini Murti. Then Pururava, Urvasi, Yayati and Devayani. So there are so many pastimes in connection to that. Somebody is very proud. Okay, they can go through 6th canto. Indra struggles because of his pride. Somebody is very angry. They can read second chapter of 4th canto up to 7th chapter. Daksha example is there. Yeah, definitely that will help us. I don't know if I got the question properly, but I said something. Okay, thank you. Yes, bro. You only have 2 minutes. Somebody wants to ask there? You wanted to? You can ask, Mataji. mic was already in her hands, we are taking it.
But he could not see him because he did not have that in him to see that form. So what should we do to see that form of Krishna?
Prabhupada has manifested that form as Radha Shyam Sundar in Krishna Balaram temple. And many other Goswamis have manifested that form in many other temples there. So the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Prabhupada also writes there, that for a sadhaka or a conditioned soul or a, someone who is embodied in this human form, seeing the spiritual form of Krishna is not possible. Therefore, Krishna manifests in the form of a deity. And the deity is not different from his original spiritual form when it is installed by great devotees according to the prana pratishta process prescribed in the scriptures. Right? So that is like one level of answer. But another level, how can we see that Vrindavan Krishna, Vasudeva also could not see? The ultimate answer for that is follow the steps, footsteps of Vrajavasis. So to attain that Vrajabhava and to see Vrajendra Nandana Krishna, we need to follow the footsteps of the Vrajavasis as taught to us by our acharyas. So Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanya, our Aradhyo Bhagavan is Vrajeshatanya only. Shyam Sundar Krishna only. So that Shyam Sundar is in the form of a deity. So we worship that deity, and that's our connection initially. And when we are mature enough or evolved enough in our spiritual life, Krishna will give an opportunity to give his Sakshat Darshan also. That is in his hands. But we'll focus on our regimen of sadhana given by the acharyas. Does it answer your question, Mother? Same in the sense, yeah, potentially same, but emotionally not same. So potency is there, but emotion is different, mood is different. In Vrindavan, he is very playful. In Vrindavan, Krishna forgets that he is God. He is not aware of his godhood. He is only thinking that I am a son of Mother Yashoda, lover of Radharani and these gopis, friend of all these sakhas. But in Mathura and Dwaraka and Vaikuntha, he remembers his God. Not he remembers, he is in the mood of God. Right? So mood is different. Potency is there. I think it's already 7. I think we should stop here. We'll have Maharaja's Leela Kirtan now. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So, sorry. To set up everything, we will have a pause of 5 minutes. Perhaps you wish to use the time to stretch a little bit, to walk a little bit around. There's possible little place behind the thing, you know, if there's a nature's call. So, 5 minutes, we will start. Hare Krishna.